Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, one of my fondest memories, I may have said this here before, but one of my fondest memories while growing up as a kid down in Racine was going fishing with my dad. Early on a summer Saturday morning, out on Lake Michigan, because I lived only a block away from the lakeshore, out on Lake Michigan, up at maybe 3 or 3:30, in the stillness of the pre-dawn, with a coffee can of earthworms, night crawlers we had gotten the night before after watering the backyard and seeing what came to the surface, going out and sitting in the boat talking about all the stuff that a 12-year-old kid liked to talk to Dad about. Wonderful memory. Maybe it was a great fishing day with 200 jumbo perch, 12 to 14 inches long. And that's not an exaggeration after these years. Fishing stories, you know, they get better and better. This is history, 12 to 14 inches, maybe 200 of them, to be taken home and scaled and cleaned, put in the freezer for Fridays sometime in the future. But maybe hour after hour, absolutely nothing. Not even a nibble on the lines. I can only imagine, therefore, the chagrin of if some bystander would shout from a football field away to people fishing out in the boat, the indignity of being called children, first of all. I was sitting out there and someone says, children, that doesn't sit well. Or the arrogance of suggesting after we had been working for hours, and worse if it was all night, the arrogance of saying, well, why don't you try the other side of the boat? I know. My dad was a very patient man, but I'm sure he would have muttered under his breath if that kind of advice had been given, but he probably would have done it. Peter did. And they had to swallow their pride as they dragged the net to the shore. Now, this isn't merely a story about Peter and the crew going fishing because they were bored and couldn't think of anything else to do. Nor is it a story about deciding, well, they might as well get back to work and support themselves after the resurrection. It's really a story about the church that signaled in a very subtle way right at the beginning, because we are told that there were seven of them. And in the ancient biblical world, first century, seven meant the leadership group of a separate community. So if there were seven, and John gives the names of five and then two others just to make the seven complete, and we're talking about the church. Moreover, this isn't merely a story about fishing. It really is a story, a tale, about missionary activity, about the missionary activity of the early church after the resurrection, about bringing in new members, about forming a group whose way of life was so attractive that others sat up and took notice, and maybe decided to join. Now, don't press the metaphor too far. It isn't about bringing in new folks to be used or exploited or taken advantage of to become breakfast. Don't press it too far. But it is bringing in others. I can hear Peter saying, as they went off to the temple to teach day after day in Jerusalem, I guess Peter would say, we're still fishing. Because it's a different kind of bringing individuals into the community. And we ourselves, Peter might say, were the bait. We tend to think about missionaries as somehow out there. Our own archdiocesan mission in the Dominican Republic, a wonderful place, doing extraordinary work. I mean, I saw it, had the blessing of going down 3 or 4 times just to be present, to watch it. Or the Maryknoll priests and sisters out in China or Bangladesh. Or the Notre Dame sisters, our own, who are in Cameroon in Africa. Or the Jesuits from years, centuries ago, who camped just on a Père Marquette, camped right on Milwaukee River, across the river from where the arts Performing Arts Center is. That's where they camped. We tend to think about missionaries as out there, back there, somewhere away from us. We forget that being a missionary isn't just glamorous preaching. It's settling down into a different community and becoming, in a sense, like the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh and living in our midst and taking all our customs and everything we are in order to speak and transform it. And we tend to forget that missionary work isn't terribly glamorous. It's just being somewhere in a different situation, different customs, different languages, living our faith, practicing it so clearly and so simply as to attract questions and conversations and maybe colleagues. Father Doug Venn, older brother of a priest here in residence at the cathedral, a Maryknoll, lived almost 30 years in a village in Bangladesh, the only Christian in the village. The only one. And he said Mass by himself every day and was in internet communication with about 300 people every day, but he was the one Christian, Catholic Christian in the village, and he was a missionary. And he went down to the fountain to get water, went to the public restrooms, and became part of it. As a missionary, just there. Charles de Foucauld set up a chapel and a little house in northern Africa and prayed all day and welcomed the Tuareg nomads who came by and talked and listened. He was a missionary by his way of life. Damien the leper, a missionary by his way of life. Some years ago, we had at St. Francis de Sales Seminary some students from Uganda, from the city of Kampala in Uganda. And they were wonderful young men. Peter Richard, I remember at the end of his 4 years, I said, as he was preparing to go back for ordination in Kampala, I said, Peter, when you, after these 4 years, any comments about our way of life here? And he said, do you want to know the truth? I said, well, Peter, I wouldn't ask if I didn't want to know the truth. He said, you know, you people waste a lot of food. I was prepared for that. I was not prepared for the example he gave. He said, at Halloween, you take a pumpkin and you carve it for decoration and you throw it away. He said, I can't understand that at all. I have never forgotten that. 30 years later, you know, I still cannot make a Halloween pumpkin. I cannot carve it. Somebody else wants to do it, fine. I can't do it because of that comment. So he was a missionary to me, obviously, with a different set of values that he made me think about and see in a new way. The fact is, that kind of fishing, to be a missionary at heart, living out a different set of values, happily, clearly, healthily, it occurs wherever we are. It can occur at the water cooler at work, or in a bar, or in some social gathering, at the bank where we work, or in the factory, or wherever, just living with a whole different set of values, not to confront, but to engage in some kind of witness and possible conversation. That's missionary work. That's being in a culture and bringing a slightly different culture to it. And talking about all the issues of the day, whatever they may be, from the perspective of the gospel, whether it's immigration, or whether it's family life, or whether it's care for children, or whether it's government budgets, or education, or helping the poor get a handle on things to get out of hopelessness, whatever people talk about. That's where we need to listen, to express our convictions about things, and to be part of the conversation. Purpose of the church, as I like to say, is to praise God in Christ at Eucharist by transforming the world. That's the purpose of the church. Purpose of our baptism, to make a difference. When Pope John the 23rd was preparing for the Second Vatican Council, he established a committee, a commission, to study the signs of the times, simply to take a look at the whole world and say, what should we be talking about today? What should we be talking about? And I live with the conviction that that's something that every parish should constantly do, that we should do, saying, what are the signs of the times? Where should my witness, my conviction of the gospel, as a missionary, be brought to the discussion? Not to dominate it, but to participate in it, to shape it, to be willing to be changed ourselves in the process. The signs of the times. We take water from the baptismal font, not only when we come in, and I've said this recently right here, not only when we come in, as a reminder that baptism gives access to the Eucharist, but also when we go out. And we hardly ever think about what that means. We just take some water, splash it on ourselves, run out. Today we could stand outside in the rain and get some water from God. We could save the water inside, I suppose. But you know, it's a reminder that baptism sends us forth. And maybe when we do that, we say, like Peter, well, I guess I'm going fishing. Because fishing is very different in the sense that, no, it isn't different. It's an insight into what our whole lives should be. And then the last part of the gospel this morning, Peter being asked three times, because he denied Christ three times, being asked to feed the lambs and feed the sheep. Because we need to support each other in this sense of being missionary. We need to encourage each other, to motivate each other. That's why we come to the Eucharist. I had a letter, confirmation letter yesterday, in which a lovely young woman said, well, I kind of prefer to pray at home rather than go into church every Sunday. Missing the point that we need to be in worship together so that we can do what we're sent to do the rest of the week. Gospel of the Lord.